Have you been hitting the books and listening to lectures all day? It's time to relax, to unwind, and listen up. This is Brooke from Campus Chronicles, your go-to podcast for everything student life. No matter where you are in your academic journey, we have you covered. Think of us as a trusted mentor, friend, and confidant who always has your back. We'll be sharing inspiring stories, thought-provoking insights, and practical advice to help you succeed in and out of the classroom. So get ready to be inspired, enlightened, and entertained. Hello, hello, everyone. I am so excited to introduce you to this wonderful guest that we have today. His name is Dwight Riddick, and he is from Coaching and Speaking Academy. Is that correct, Dwight, or did I miss a word?
No, that was it. Max Potential, Coaching and Speaking Academy. That was good.
Well, we're going to have to hone in on that Max Potential part, but before we do, give us a little bit of an insight and background into who you are.
So I am from Virginia. Majored in computer science, played varsity basketball there, and now I am leading a coaching and speaking business called Max Potential. There's something in them that could be a little bit better. You can go a little bit further, be enhanced just a little bit more. And so my life, person, mission is to maximize the potential of individuals and organizations. I am married with two kids. I did have a struggle through college, which I would love to share a little bit about before being able to reach, where I am now. I really committed myself to help get unstuck, a way to move forward, understand that where you are is not where you're going to be permanently, and really just kind of maximize that potential that's in you and realize real dreams, realize purpose, realize aspiration.
Okay, I want to dive right in because you said you want to talk about your college experience. Just walk us through that. Walk us through how you started. For so many people, college is this time of transition and uncertainty. It can be very, very, very scary.
Yeah, absolutely. So my story in the short version is I graduated high school. It was almost fairy tale, like top of the class, not like number one, but top 10. I was prom king, right? My senior year, prom prince, my junior year. College was supposed to be automatically easy, right? I was supposed to go to college and get out in 4 years. That didn't happen. So the first thing that happened is I got recruited to play basketball. And once I arrived, our coach got fired. And so when the coach got fired, the new coach came in. And while I could have kept the scholarship, they asked about moving the scholarship. Long story short, the new coach cuts me from the team, right? So I get recruited and cut at the same time. That's the first delay. Second delay is I tried to join a fraternity, supposed to take a few months. That didn't happen. And so I'm 3 years into college, still have not joined that fraternity. That was a delay. Around about my seventh year of college, supposed to be a 4-year degree, right? I'm still thinking I graduated yet. And so literally for me, life was delay after delay after delay, struggle after struggle, to the point where I really wanted to just kind of give up, honestly. Excuse me. And I reached this space where I was really just down. I don't think I knew depressed. We didn't have the verbiage for it, but I was definitely depressed. I had a dorm. I had my sister, who's 3 years younger than me, right? She's now graduated. I'm still in college. She has plays. My parents live about 3 hours away from the college, and I'm commuting from my parents' house to my sister's house to my apartment, back and forth. But there were moments that I would literally just sleep in my truck because I was ashamed. It was just like, what is happening right now? What happened to the college that I was supposed to go to and the degree I was supposed to get? Like, none of that had really materialized. And so I felt myself trying to overcompensate. I felt myself trying to figure out if any of my high school was real. I was trying to figure out if any of the dreams, because, everybody was like, you're going to do great. I'm so proud of you. I'm so excited. And when I saw them, I could not come to bear and share it with them where I really was, how I felt. So I'm in the car, sleep at this hotel near UVA, and I guess the fire alarm goes off. And when the fire alarm goes off, all of the people in the hotel are coming out, but I'm sleeping in the car. Like, oh no, it's going to look like I did it. I know I didn't do it, but it's going to look like, I did something. And this guy knocks on the window. And when he knocks on the window, I roll the window. He's like, are you okay? And I look at him, and everything in my mind is like, yes, say the check. My lips formed to say I'm okay. But everything just hit me. And it was like, no, I'm not okay. My grandmother passed away. I got cut from the team. My girlfriend left me. And it was like, blah, 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 and all of this. And he was like, man, it's going to be okay. Like, you're going to be okay. And after that, life changed. I got myself together. I went back, cleaned up the apartment. I went to the bookstore. I purchased a diploma frame and put an alumni t-shirt in the frame. And every day I would wake up, I would look at the diploma frame and the alumni t-shirt. And I had a $100 bill, all framed. I was like, one day I'm going to get the $100 and get the shirt. Literally visual motivation. This is like year 7. I could backtrack. Year 2, I did try out for the same team that I got cut from. I did get back on the team, started playing ball. And then in my 8th year, I actually graduated. You know, got the undergraduate degree. I did play ball. I did get the fraternity. I did graduate. Since then, I earned a master's and a doctorate, multiple certifications, you know, built a 6-figure business. And so for anyone who is listening to this, let me tell you that there is a way to deal with your delays, that your that is not permanent, does not have to hold you back. Like, there is a way forward. You just want to visualize where you can go before you get there. You want to put together a really good system and realize that perfection is not the goal. Progress is the goal. And if you can do a little bit better every day, eventually you're weaker. You get a couple of good weeks, good months, then a couple of years. And then after that, you would just kind of have a story. And Brooke, have you come on Campus Chronicles and share it with someone how you made it?
I love it. And one of the things I love about your story is you talking about when you were young, you were in high school, you were on top of the mountain, and then to go to university, because everybody, like you said, was telling you, you're going to be amazing, you're going to be a star. And it's easy to feel that way when that's been your experience. And then you go into a new place, you're confronted with new people, new things, new challenges, and you get in that valley. But when you've been on that mountain, it's very, very hard to admit that you're in the valley because it feels like a personal weakness or a personal failure. Did you feel that way?
Absolutely. I felt like it was personal failure. And then honestly, I felt like I had failed all the people that had given me the support.
All of those expectations were on your shoulders.
Absolutely. And they are much heavier than people will know, because for every person, it's just them. But for you, for me, it was everyone, right? It was my whole family. It was the teams. It was my teachers. It was my faith community. And so my entire church believed in me. And to be able to have to come back and say, listen, you know, it didn't happen. There you said, like, experienced some things. And to be honest, it wasn't all someone else's fault. Like, some of it was mine. I didn't go to class. I made some mistakes. I did some things. And so I think it is a heavy weight to carry. If I could lend in this, I would say that as heavy as it is, you don't have to carry it alone. You know, to this day, I don't know if many people know our story or where I was. And the one time I shared it, you know, there were people who were around like, why would you do that? Like, I would have been there for you. I would have helped you out. And I think if you can be humble enough to reach out your hand, you'll discover many people who really want to help, and they're not going to condemn you. They aren't going to judge you. Now they're wrong. But those already, and that's not the group that you really place value in. You don't listen to their opinion to determine how you're going to operate. You just know that it's part of the journey. And I did feel that way. I overcame that assumption window. I was able to get it out. And he affirmed, still, I don't even know who he is today. We had never seen each other again. He just said, hey, it's not going to be like this forever. Man. You're going to be okay. And that's simple. C grew into getting through it, being over it, now reaching back, bring others to the same space.
Mm-hmm. One thing that we've talked about before is that sometimes for men, it can be really, really incredibly hard to admit that you're struggling. Did you feel that way?
Absolutely. So again, I mentioned I had a sister who's 3 years younger, really close, but she graduated and it started her career. I was still in college. Like, how do you...
And you were like, oh my goodness, this is my little sister. How did this happen? She like leapfrogged me.
Absolutely. And so I was simultaneously proud of her while also just ashamed of where I was. And then I think when men talk, we don't talk to each other about real issues. You know, we on a real superficial level. So, you know, with the guys, it's kind of like, yeah, man, they good. I'm gonna be all right. And then if you have a problem, this guy's like, oh man, for real? That's bad. But you know, you'll be okay. But there aren't too many spaces where you really get, you know, deep advice and understanding unless you have intentionally connected to a mentor or to a coach, or you have somebody that you've grown up with. Otherwise, what happens for guys, what happens with men is, in order for me to help fix you, I have to admit that I've been there. So now we have to have two confessions.
Mm-hmm. I love that you played basketball. I want to segue into that because there are so many life lessons from basketball, so much that you can glean, so much that you can learn, but you were cut from the team. Tell me about that just for a second. That had to be crushing.
Yeah, that was tough. That was tough. I'll be honest. I think I'm a good ball player. I never had aspirations to go to the NBA. I always dreamed of playing Division I basketball. That was it. If I could have Division I, you know, I was always a business-minded guy. If I could just play Division I would have hit my peak. And I did it and then got cut. And I didn't feel that was performance-based. It was strictly, for me at the time, politics. You know, the coach got fired. And because the coach got fired, we offered scholarships to go with him. But I really liked the school, not just the coach. And so I wanted to stay at the school. And then we tried out for the team. A couple of us who were recruited tried out. And I don't necessarily know that the other players that got picked up were better. You know, it would have been different if I got on the court and it was just like they blew me away. And I'm like, oh, I'm really not good enough to play. But I felt that I was still much better than the people who tried out. Now, full disclosure, when I actually got back on the team, I was not as good as everybody else on the team. So there were some players on the team that were phenomenal, and I did need to work harder to get to their level. But the people I tried out against, there was no way I was supposed to get cut. And so at that point for me, while it was heart-wrenching, also for me was reality check on the whys, and for me, like life purpose. So at some point, after excruciating pain, and it was just kind of bearable, it was, okay, this happened. Why did this happen? What did this happen for? What did I learn from this? My hindsight now is, okay, what was I supposed to glean from this moment? You know, John Maxwell says, sometimes you win, sometimes you learn, not lose, right? You know, for me at that time, okay, what did I learn from this? Because this isn't necessarily that I'm a bad basketball player, so it has to be something else. And then what I didn't know later was that it was going to take me longer to graduate. It was going to take me longer, you know, eternity. And I'm not saying everyone should, but that was the route I took. And so for me, the first book I wrote is called Dealing with Delay, because that was the moment that I realized that I actually had many life days prior to college and was another amplifying of these same delays. And at some point I realized this is less about basketball and more about like this and assignment and life goal that helped me at least cope with what was still pain. I will say this, there was no point where it wasn't painful. It was just at some point bearable.
I have a mentor and a friend who says that when you go through delays or setbacks or whatever, it's really, really easy to say, what's wrong with me? And she always says that's the wrong question.
I think that self-pity is an easy way out. And I think to be able to say, oh, what's wrong with me? That it's almost a cop-out. It's kind of put it on you, and then you kind of shrink back into some dark space. I think it takes more work and a lot more courage to realize that it's not you. And even if it is some things you've done, the things you've done don't define you.
Mm-hmm. I have a question that's hard for a lot of people. I don't think it's going to be hard for you. The question is, if you could give three pieces of advice to university-age students, these pieces of advice can be about anything. What would those three pieces of advice be?
So not in any particular order, but if I had to answer that immediately, I would tell every university age student that your circle of friends and influence matter more than you will ever know. You will be. You know, we said it, you've heard it, cliche is, but if you show me your friends, I can show you your future. And the people that you surround yourself with will determine your cap. They will determine your possibilities. They will determine your exposure. And so make sure you really guard and are intentional about who you spend your time with. The second may be close to that. I would say find a coach or mentor. Like, make sure you have someone in your life who's, no matter what you do, not impressed with you. They just want to push you to the next level. I mean, you could win an Academy Award, you could win a Nobel Peace Prize, and they're going to ask, why don't you have two? Now, why don't you get another one? You know, you want someone in your life that's not judging you, not demeaning you, but they're not impressed. They are really wanting to get you to, you know, your next level. And then maybe my third bit of advice is let the past be the past. Don't hold on too hard to what you have done, positive or negative, right? Because there's some people who have these trophies from high school, right? These achievements from last year. And it's like, that's who I was. But today's the day, and today has new trophies and new awards and new celebrations. So let the good past be the good past, but then go find something better. And let the negative bad past be the bad past, bounce back and get over it. Those would be my three.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I have another one. Do you live your life by any quote or mantra, song? What would that be if you have like a mantra that you live by?
Good, better, best. Never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. That's my go-to when I do mentorship, because it always, again, pushes me to the next level. There's this quote in a poem by Aaron Hansen, and I don't remember the whole quote, my darling. And then it goes into, what if you fall? Oh, but my darling, what if you fly? Right? And the image is a person, for me, standing on the cliff. They're supposed to jump. And it's like, yeah, you could fall, but, you know, what if you fly? So that's the Aaron Hansen. My darling, what if you fall? Oh, but what if you fly? I think that's the other one.
Oh, my goodness. So if people want to learn more about you, if they want to find with you, potentially find you to work with you, where would they find you?
Yeah, my socials are at DS Riddick, RIDDICK, and the number 2. So it's at DS Riddick, the number 2. And then my website is whiteriddick.com. That's probably the easy way.
I love it. As we wrap up here, I've had so much fun with you. I love the basketball analogies. I love all your vulnerability about your story. Is there any closing or parting words that are really on your heart?
So first, I do want to thank you so much for having me and allowing me this opportunity. I'm definitely grateful for that. Wouldn't leave without saying that. And I think for every person, again, I would tell you there's so much more in you. There is greater that you can accomplish. Your life now is to maximize your potential, right? Connect, let your past be your past, and realize that what is ahead of you is so much greater than anything that's been behind you.
Thank you for joining me on Campus Chronicles. I hope you found our discussion informative, inspiring, entertaining, and fun. We are always working hard to make sure that our episodes are the very best they can be, which means we need your help. If you liked what you heard, remember to hit the follow button on your favorite podcast platform and drop us a review. It helps us to connect with more students who are hungry for success. And remember, the journey never stops. Keep listening, keep learning, keep growing. See you next week for another amazing episode of Campus Chronicles.